your stance on satisfactory and unsatisfactory grades in online coursework?
No, and I appreciate the question. And that's another thing that I've consulted with faculty and consulted with the deans. And I think one of the things that everyone has to understand is a satisfactory and unsatisfactory could have an effect on your academic future. So it can have an effect on your ability to get into certain graduate programs because some universities don't accept the SU and they require the GPA. It could affect your ability to get into higher level classes. And so I think the difference between, and this is was part of my discussion with the faculty between now and last spring when we did do that, was that it happened so suddenly, so seriously, we had to completely shut down the campus. Whereas this semester, the campus has been open, and we've been living in the high-flex system, and we've been maximizing the active experience that we have subject to the Washington County rules. So that it just, it starts to cascade. You start to use this SU too often, it could affect all of your academic futures associated with whatever discipline that you're in. So the goal is to ensure the integrity of your academic credentials as you further your education. And I know it's not easy. I know students are going through a lot of difficulty. One of the mitigating factors is there is the ability to take class over again and replace the grade. And without no questions asked upon completion, Dr. Ellis, is there anything else that I see?
No, I think you're hitting on the other alternatives for academic recovery. So it's not just limited to freshmen taking classes again. So for upper level classes, you could do it. And I know a lot of you have talked to me about a concern that you're not getting the foundational components for higher level classes. It's just not clicking for you remotely. And you want that. And so the ability to take a class over once we get through the virus and we learn better in person would be available to you. And the prior grade will be eliminated and no one will ever know what it was. So I think there's mastery issues, there's your transcript, there's the fact that it was okay for a short term. But I know, Stephanie, thank you for starting with Heather Church to look at other policies that might help students with the academic recovery process. We don't want to hurt your financial aid and your scholarships. So we're looking at other alternatives, SU.
And really encourage you to talk with the faculty and the deans on those issues as well on a one-on-one basis with students and their instructors. But again, we just don't want to undermine your ability to be successful later on, as Dr. Ellis said, with regard to transcripts and such, because there are some.
Senator Ramirez.
Hi, my name is Leslie Ramirez. I'm a senator for the College of Business. My question to you is, less of a question, more of just hopefully you would be able to look over this, but one of my big goals is just like you said, increase like diversity on our campus. We recently passed a few months ago with the legislation, I can read out to you, a resolution to uphold and protect human rights and equity for Black and marginalized peoples at the university, local, and state and national levels. So I just ask for you to like look over it. I know we sent it to President Mark Johnson, but since he's taken over, it'd be very appreciated if you were able to kind of look over it, see if there any of your goals align with what we have here, and kind of help us to complete the goals that we have on the legislation.
So. No, thank you for letting me know. Please forward that to our press, Patricia. We have to look at it, feedback after that.
Yeah, we can get a copy to you too. So I'm our legislative clerk. I'm kind of our Are there any other questions for President Sandoval? All right, if not, I just want to reiterate, I appreciate your value of shared governance. Every single question you guys submitted to me last week, I asked him last Friday. It felt like I was kind of grilling him, but I do appreciate you answering everything. And I appreciate you always being willing to talk to students. I think that's a really important quality to have their president.
Now, I have great respect for all of you, and I want everybody to succeed. I want this to be a place that anything is possible. And I want to again thank you for your leadership during a really difficult time, unlike anything that's happened in at least 100 years. And so, for all of you, this, your resilience and your leadership is going to be really important as we move through this. Said we're all in the same team, and I want to work together to make this the best experience that our students can possibly have on this campus. So thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thank you. All righty, and moving back to the public comment, I have a comment from Provost Harmon. Remember when we asked him the question about what campus will look like next spring regarding the increase in class or the increase in gatherings in the governor? We asked if that would be kind of copied over into the university system. And I just wanted to read you his response. He said that they discussed this with the issue management team last Wednesday. Our status is, as I mentioned in my previous response, specifically, we will continue following the social distancing guidelines prescribed by the Washoe County Health District, which are and may continue to be more stringent than the state's guidelines. The Washoe County Health District has not changed since Governor Sisolak's recent announcement, so for now, we are operating under the same guidelines we adopted for this fall. As always, we will do all that we can to maximize in-person instruction and student experiences, while also responsibly adhering to best practices to keep students, faculty, and staff safe and healthy. So I know one of Senator Supple's interests asked that Friday board with a message. If any of your constituents also ask something similar, I can also kind of send you a similar message that he sent me, if that would help. I know we have some more public comment from Zane Taylor. Thank you.
Okay. Good evening, Senate of the Associate Students and other officers present this evening. Along with my resignation letter to be read into record, I hope to offer you a few parting words in person. I want to first apologize to you all, first for leaving the association so abruptly, and for any actions that may have been viewed as inappropriate. I will always take full responsibility for my own actions. I never planned on leaving the association for the remainder of my time at the university. Those who knew me best knew that I treasured my position and held it as a top priority. Leaving was a difficult decision, and I meant the Senate no ill will. I went to address the recent impeachment process, which I was very much involved. At 5:36 p.m. on October 5th, I was alerted that I had charges pressed against myself. I already knew the premise of the charges due to an earlier email thread sent to every officer in the association by Chief Justice Pride. I, like all of you, knew the charges and the evidence long before I even knew the charge was against myself, and long before I could have a chance to prove my innocence. Let it be abundantly clear that Chief Justice Pride did not file these charges. The Chief Justice, to simply put it, told the entire association her stance on the pending charges and detailed evidence yet to be seen by anybody with a say in the employment of officers in the association. This act was extremely inappropriate, and I felt as though I had already been impeached and was being ridiculed by the membership of the association. Associate Justice Marino came forward at the Committee on Oversight and claimed she was told to file the charge against myself and another senator because she considers Chief Justice Pride to be her superior. Let me just say that no member of this association is superior. We are all working for a common purpose and have been elected and appointed to do so. Associate Justice Marino, in my understanding, did not file the charges in her own will, and the situation may have been avoided had Chief Justice Pride not been involved, state of bias, detail evidence, or even if a civil conversation would have been held without charges between the parties. If the Chief Justice wanted to be involved and have an opinion, the Chief Justice should have filed the charges. Even if Pride had filed the charge, it is not the job of the proponent to detail everything listed in those emails and the memo to the entire association before the charge could present their side. This ultimately, and worst case scenario, could have swayed votes of impeachment. If the Chief Justice was so against this in the first place, why would she attempt to do the same except publicly and place a conviction going against the term innocent until proven guilty? I believe the Chief Justice has committed an act of hypocrisy and has violated the oath of justices in the process. From day one, Pride's bias was in question following a Twitter altercation between President Hall and a student was brought to light by former Senator Doyle. Pride stood by Hall's statements by calling those in opposition names that would be considered not professional, to say the least. Now, as I don't consider myself a person of malice or ill will to others, I would not recommend a charge against Pride, as I've seen the lasting effects of a charge firsthand. Please have a civil conversation. Call her into the Committee on Oversight for a public hearing. I just want her to know that what she did was wrong and should not be taken lightly. Ultimately, I came tonight to clear my name, since I was not given a chance since before charges were pressed. This morning, the impeachment hearing was largely focused around myself for some reason. I can't help but feel disgusted at the things that Associate Justice Marino implied about myself and that my name was smeared without my defense. You can listen to the timeline of events accurately laid out on record by Senator Priest. Let me clarify that I had no direct contact with Marino, nor did I know that anything I did at the time was wrong. I was absolutely not acting with malicious intent by discussing matters of public knowledge possessed by you all with another senator. Marino even attests to us not having contact during the Committee on Oversight meeting. Marino did lean on the untrue statement that I had somehow pressured Priest into committing wrongdoing. I cannot express how false this statement is. For those who don't know, especially at Associate Justice Marino, Priest is not just my colleague as suggested by Marino. Priest and I are friends, and I would consider her one of my very close friends at that. Everything that was said in our conversation was out of confidence, was friendly, and was not outside of what ASUN officers already know. Marino even admits to asking Priest for knowledge on our meeting in ASUN, which Priest mentioned she came to me knowing I had interned with the council. None of us, including Marino, knew that what we were doing was wrong, and none of us acted out of malice or intent, as later suggested by Chief Justice Pride. I find the need to stand up for myself and address misinformation when my public image is on the line, and when those who don't know me are telling untrue information and hurting my image. The only conversations that were had were between Senator Priest and myself in confidence, and Senator Priest and Marino in confidence, as stated on the Committee on Oversight by Senator Lors. A note for the future, please try and clear up misunderstandings using alternate routes before immediately pressing charges. That is all I would say in regards to that situation, and hope that brings you some clarity on the situation. Also, congrats to Senator Priest. You put up an amazing fight while also highlighting key areas in the association that need immediate mending. I hope you all know that I did not gain anything from resigning. I've had my name ridiculed and smeared by members of this association since and have lost a large portion of my sense of belonging at the university. As Senator Priest mentioned, I felt upheld by this association in very minimal ways. From the drama and chaos of the ADA session, my new friends in the Senate, Speaker Murphy, Vice President Brown, Directors Lonza, Samuelson, and Guillen, and Associate Director Butler have been a few glimpses of light for the association. One of President Hall's main goals for her term was to boost a sense of belonging. I cannot say that I experienced that too much while fighting for students at the table, and I can say now that I join countless other students who have lost their sense of belonging due to alienation and who don't feel respected by President Hall. The association was my safe space and my home where I could do what I truly loved. On a positive note, to my senators, I hope you will reach out to me if you ever need assistance, and more importantly, if you ever need a friend. Associate Director Butler's smiling face, uplifting comments, and team building were a godsend when it was most needed, but I hope I can still call you all my dear friends. This job is stressful, but it's not worth fighting your colleagues. Please treasure your positions. The satisfaction that you worked for the betterment of the university should be your ultimate reward. Do not stand for the drama of ASUN, as Speaker Murphy mentioned. Trust your students. Do not give in to the president telling you that students in public comment are lying. You are not in office for your ego, your paycheck of student fees, or a resume boost, so please act accordingly. Do not think for a second that I won't be in public comment addressing student concerns and actions of those in the association. To quote a candidate for U.S. Vice President, you respect the people by telling them the truth. You respect the people when you have the courage to be a leader, speaking of those things you may not want people to hear, but they need to hear. ASUN is not the place for secrets and drama. I encourage you all to be louder about the faults of ASUN. We all know there's a lot more wrong with the association this session than the students know. If you truly value transparency, you would be more vocal on these issues. To the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement, I'm excited to see what you all will accomplish this year. I can't think of anyone better to lead you all than the Vice Chair, Senator Torres. She's passionate and educated on civic engagement and has knowledge on all of the legislative priorities laid out about 2 weeks ago. To the remainder of the Senate and Speaker Murphy, I wish you all the absolute best for the remainder of the session. Thank you all so much for an amazing 6 months at the table. My most important friends at the university have without a doubt come from my time within ASUN. I'm sure I will regret leaving, but ultimately the drama of this session would not have allowed me to stay even if ruled innocent. I will miss our good debates, Senator Ribeiro's very thorough reports, being proud to represent the students, and being so close to you all. I never said it out loud, but I truly love you with all of my entire heart.
Thank you, Zane. I appreciate your wise words. And if you ever need anything, there's many people here that care for you. Moving into our another public comment, Vice President of the Associated Students, Austin Rowe.
Good evening, Senators. I wanted to give public comment about my opinion regarding the Department of Event Programming, specifically hiring a new director. Pursuant to the SAS Chapter 201, Section 1, Subsection C, the duties of the president are to appoint and remove all inferior officers of the executive branch unless otherwise specified by law. I strongly advise President Hall to not hire a director of programming for the time being. At this point, we can't do our large-scale programming, so it does not make sense to hire a director. Thus, funding should go to student support services. We will continue to work with programming to hire a few more programmers to make sure smaller scale programming is still done, but hiring a director is not the best use of student funds at this moment. In order to be compliant with the SAS and to make the best use of student fees, I'm seeking one or multiple senators to help me draft a resolution against the hiring of a director of event programming for the time being. Thank you all for your time, and please reach out if you would like to write this resolution.
Thank you, Vice President Crowe. Is there any further public comment at this time? Alrighty, seeing none, moving into agenda item 6, receive of petitions and correspondence to the Senate and referral. I will read the resignation of Zane Taylor, Senator for the College of Legal Arts. Speaker Murphy and AC run the media session. It is with respect for you all that I formally resign from the office of Senator for the College of Legal Arts and Chair for the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement Effective Immediately. I will save you all the nitty-gritty information as I share the same sentiments expressed in past letters of resignation, but I feel as if this association has done me more harm eventually more than anything than I can bear anymore. The integrity of the associated students has been upheld through years and years of hard work and action for students. I can tell you that, starting the session, everything has changed. I have seen senators turn on each other and the students and the president of the association turn their back on students and their cabinet more times than they can count. Mentally, I'm exhausted and thought it best for myself that I respectfully leave the association. Please always work for the students, treat my lovely intern with the highest respect, and please vote this November. All the best, Zane Taylor, student at the University of Nevada. Moving into agenda item 7, reports of ASU and officers, starting with President of the Associated Students, Dominique Hall. And I will share my screen.
Okay, can everyone hear me? I'm using my phone today.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Perfect. So there's nothing on there, but I do have a pretty long report that I will definitely send Speaker Murphy or one of the secretaries. But good evening, senators. There have been several developments over the last week I want to share with you that will impact an upcoming meeting between myself, our Vice President, Austin Brown, and our business manager, Dr. Sandra Rodriguez. We will meet to discuss the budget and reallocating funds. These developments include, number one, the furloughing of E.L. Wiegan and the Resident Hall RAs and front desk attendants due to the loss of jobs after Thanksgiving. I've reached out to the students working at Wiegan to communicate their situations to me so we can connect them to the Dean of Students Office for financial support. I did want to share the director of the fitness center's responses to some critical questions, so I will try to read these as carefully as I can. So the first question I asked was, if students are not being refunded their gym fee, where is the money for the gym going? This was Director Fitzsimmons' response. There is a bit of history here you should probably be aware of. The EL Wiegan Fitness Center was funded by three sources: private donors, institutional funds, and student fees. In the classic Carnegie model of philanthropy, private donors put up capital and the institution agreed to cover the remainder of construction and the cost of operating the facility once it was built. That being said, students pay $45 per semester. $15 of this services the bond payment. The remaining $30 goes to operating. This is not a use fee, access fee, or a membership fee. It is an operating fee. It pays for everything from hand sanitizer to upholding wages and equipment replacement, everything required to operate. Many of these costs are ongoing regardless if the facility is open or not. That was the end of question one. Question two, I asked, additionally, if refunds are not being given, why are student employees not continuing to be paid? This was Director Fitzsimmons' response. Towards the end of last spring, as the institution was planning for the fall, Dr. Ellis and Raimondo, well, BP Nash, asked directors of departments who employ students, what would we do in the event of a shutdown? The economic landscape going into this fall is considerably different than it was in the spring. Directors agreed that in the event our campus was closed or individual facilities closed, we would continue to pay students for one full pay period after we ceased operations. The economic rationale for this decision included the following. All of us had spent tens of thousands of dollars purchasing supplies and equipment that would allow us to reopen under COVID. A 75-cent minimum wage increase had gone into effect, one of four that will be implemented over the next several years, dramatically increasing our payroll. Under COVID conditions, we have been operating with additional staff on schedule in order to complete the additional cleaning and supervision of the exercise spaces required. Again, this has led to higher staffing costs. We are looking at additional budget reductions beyond the 20% already in place in the coming year. These budget reductions will likely continue for several years, and this will be a long, slow recovery for the state and this institution. That was his response for question two. And then the last two, I just asked about some percentages of the students who were employed. So he told me that the amount of students that were completely laid off were 46. He says they are retaining a small maintenance staff here and will employ additional students at Lombardi to support pool operations. And then I just asked about the pay rate, and that was around $9.25 to $14 per hour, and they worked an average of 12 hours per week. So that was Director Fitzsimmons' responses, but I still have my report left. So the second thing that's happening is I instructed the Center for Student Engagement faculty to give the EL Weekend student employees first chance to work the upcoming early voter registration event at Lawler. This would keep some of them employed through October 30th. So far as Tuesday evening, none of those students have signed up for shifts. Jim Fitzsimmons, who is the director of the Fitness Center, has reached out to them to offer this employment opportunity through the end of the month. Third thing, in the meantime, I have asked to meet with the Associate Director of Financial Aid to end the moratorium on ASUN scholarships. With the Wolf Shop back in working order, I'd like to distribute scholarships again for the 21 to 22 school year. The amount will depend on our budget meeting. I plan to distribute no less than $160,000 for the 21 to 22 school year. It may be more, and I will be opening conversations to discuss if the scholarships can be dispersed for spring semester due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Four, I will be meeting with our new Dean of Students, Dr. Leilani Kupo, to discuss increasing all of the financial support services and to meet the needs of all students, including those who have been furloughed. As of Thanksgiving, many more campus student employees may be impacted as they may have to give up their jobs since they will no longer be living in the residence halls. We are trying to estimate the number of students impacted. Therefore, it makes sense to increase all of our support services so all students impacted can have equal access to that funding. And in this report that I will send it, you can see the visual that I'm looking at with those estimates. Fifth, there's been some really great news on PAC provisions. A month ago, I instructed our business manager, Dr. Sandra Rodriguez, to apply for a grant of the last of the City of Reno's CARES Fund. I'm very happy to announce that this morning at 10 a.m., the Reno City Council approved of our PAC provisions grant request. We were funded over $73,000 to spend in the following manner, which once again will be sent out to Speaker Murphy. With these new funds, in addition to what we currently have in the account, we can purchase a van that will allow us to go beyond the 3-mile radius to deliver food. The distance is yet to be determined, and we can now provide food support for students living outside of Reno, for example, Las Vegas and Sacramento, by depositing $40 of cash in their account so they may purchase food. Six, hopefully I would like to have redirected up to, if not more than, $500,000 of the ASUN budget back to students who are in need, while cutting accounts that will not be spending their money due to the pandemic. These accounts include the programming board, clubs and organizations, the biggest, littlest festival, and removing all travel line items from all budgets as we are not allowed to travel due to the pandemic. We will be looking at placing $100,000 in the capital account to begin to grow the reserves that were completely depleted by negative balances of the Nevada Wolf Shop as well. Please be advised, we still need to consider that we may have to cut the budget depending on whether or not there is a drop in enrollment during the spring 21 semester. Seven, I'm almost done. After our budget meeting, Vice President Brown and I will work with the Chair of Budget and Finance, Corey Huber, to put this new budget before his committee for approval and feedback, so it may come before this body. Lastly, I'm happy to answer any questions as far as I'm able to give before our budget meeting, since it has not occurred yet. Are there any questions?
Any questions, Senator Harvey?
Hi, President Hall. So just in reference to Vice President Brown's comment and also kind of a question that I was wondering as well, just to clarify, you do not plan to hire another director of event programming or the vacant seats in the programming board?
So I will hire a new director unless, because once again, it says in that duty, unless specified by law. So if you guys were to tell me by law that you do not recommend me to hire a new director, I will not be hiring a new director. But if you want me to hire one, then I will, if that makes sense. And then also for the programming board, we will not be filling the board to its original 8 capacity. I think it would be appropriate to fill the board to 6 people. So that's our plan.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Thank you, President Hall, for updating us on all of that. Next up, the Vice President of the Associated Students, Austin Brown.
Hi, everybody. So this past week, the first thing I want to start off with are those graphics you see on the slide. Those are the marketing materials for the TAC Internship Grant Program. As you can see, the deadline to apply is going to be November 10th. There's a link on there that shows you where you can go to apply. We're paying $12 for 120 hours for the internship program. This goes for you to give to your constituents, and this is also for all of you. If any of you are interested in applying for a PEC internship, feel free to. There's all of those info sessions. Those are the dates below, so that way you can go and learn more about the program if you would like. Next, some of these meetings that I've had or am about to have, like you guys already talked about already, we've met with President Sandoval and Vice President Ellis this past week. Speaker Murphy, myself, President Hall, and GSA are coming up with the FAQ from kind of some things we've talked about. So hopefully students will have more transparency and they know what was discussed and have some of those answers that we got access to. Next, I met with the Student Tech Fee Committee with Steve Smith, who you all heard from 2 weeks ago, last week. And we learned a lot about some of the tech fees going on and those adjustments, but you also all got that presentation as well. Like President Hall said, on Friday, we will be meeting with Director Rodriguez to talk about the budget adjustments. So if you have any suggestions, feel free to send them to me before Friday. Same goes for the next meeting, which is going to be the satisfactory and unsatisfactory grade replacement policy. We'll be meeting with the Advising Center to talk about making this a more permanent policy that could be used this semester potentially. But again, if you or any of your constituents have voiced opinions about any of this, I would love to hear it before these meetings. Additionally, President Hall and I have been doing exec reviews this week of all the officers. So far, they're going really, really well. I'm very proud of our exec board. And so I just want to say thank you to all of them for working so hard, especially in just these crazy times. I've been working with some of the programmers along with athletics for a possible event for the first football game coming up here in a couple weeks. So we're still trying to figure out some of those details, but that would be cool if we could do something small scale, socially distanced, and still be able to get some student engagement in there. The PAC pods are doing really well. They are starting, we've hired everybody and onboarded them. So that's exciting. They're reaching out to their groups. We meet with all kind of the people involved with it every Friday. So look forward to our meeting again this Friday. And if you have any questions about that or things you would like me to bring up to that group, feel free to let me know. And then just the last point, I will be out of the office from October 21st to October 26th. So I probably will not have access to my email at all. During that time, if you need me for any reason, feel free to text me and I should be able to get back to you. But until then, have a great week and I'll see you all soon.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Senator Romero.
Through the speaker to Vice President Brown. So in the realm that we don't hire a director of programming, who would be supervising and providing oversight for the six programs? programmers that we do hire.
Yeah, so that, oh, sorry. That's something that I would love to work with President Hall on. We've already kind of had some discussions about it. But I think right now, both Assistant Director Matavina and Akui are doing a great job leading the department. They've led it for, I think, almost a month now. And so seeing that the event programming kind of capacity and limitations isn't going to change anytime in the future, I think that could continue along with our pro staff, Sean Foe. He's doing a wonderful job. In the event that more guidance would be needed, I think we could look to members of the cabinet. I know there's a lot of like programming experience with other job duties that might not be as obvious, but I think that's also ways to look at it. I hope I said this well in the public comment, but I think this would just be kind of a temporary pause in hiring this position. I think with not returning to campus for instruction starting after Thanksgiving, most events probably wouldn't be able to happen at least until February when students are back on campus. So that's kind of some of the logic behind it. I hope that answered your question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Already seeing none. Next up, we have Chief Justice Paul McCrae.
Hi, everyone. So first off, I'm going to read off the decision into the public record for Article 5, Section 2, Subsection B, Line Item 1. That was heard last week on October 6th. So first I'll just go into the interpretation of the council. So the judgment of the Judicial Council regarding an interpretation of Article 5, Section 2, Subsection B, Line Item 1, quote, a petition of half of the number of students who voted in the previous election of the officer senator to be recalled is required to order a recall election, deems this line as reasonably susceptible to two interpretations regarding the phrase of half the number of students who voted. Due to the ambiguity of the phrase, half the number of students who voted, the Judicial Council rules to align our decision with the precedent set by Nevada Constitution, which states only registered voters who actually voted in the election in which the subject of the recall was elected may sign a petition to recall. The Judicial Council deems this alignment necessary because ASUN derives its power as a governing body from NRS and Nevada Board of Regents. Adding to this, a typical method of constitutional interpretation is to refer to precedents set in previous cases which established legal authority. Although in this case, the council aligns their judgment and interpretation of the Constitution of the Associated Students with the precedent set by Nevada Constitution, we want to be clear that in doing so, we are not setting a precedent ourselves that every case need be decided by referencing the Nevada Constitution. Only in cases of extreme ambiguity of the language in our governing documents does the Judicial Council make the recommendation of referring to a previous precedent set by Nevada law or another supreme law. So the final judgment reads, as such, it is in the unanimous opinion of the Judicial Council that the Constitution of the Associated Students align with Nevada's Constitution regarding who may vote in a recall election. With that, Article 5, Section 2, Subsection B, Line Item 1 of the Constitution of the Associated Students should be interpreted to mean that only registered voters who actually voted in the election in which the subject of the recall was elected may sign a petition to recall. To further clarify, the number of petitioners required to recall is still set at half of those who actually voted in the election of the officer or senator. Further, these petitioners must have all been individuals who actually voted in the election in which the officer or senator was elected. With that, are there any questions regarding the decision?
Senator
Wendry. Hi, through Speaker Murphy to Chief Justice Pride. I was just curious as to why we kind of base it off of the Nevada Constitution when 18, when you're 18 or older, you end up, like, it has an impact on you. But at the university, you're only here for 4 years. So people that graduate who voted in the last election kind of find it as not their duty to do anything regarding the university. And so I was just curious on why you guys had that decision.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. So as I kind of said in my decision, it's a very common method whenever you're interpreting legal documents or constitutions that you refer to precedents, previous precedents that were set, because there is no precedent that is set by ASUN other than the opinion from the Attorney General, which also aligned with the Nevada Constitution. It's reasonable to then refer to a higher law, especially because ASUN gets their governing power from NRS and from the Nevada Board of Regents. So we just saw it to be the most effective and the most sensible and the most fair, I feel like, to make that decision. But once again, like as I'm going to talk about, there is a second case regarding the entire recall process. So yes, graduated students would have the opportunity to vote or to sign the petition for a recall. But regarding the special election process that takes place after the recall petition has to qualify, a decision will be made on who can actually vote in that. And so it's unclear right now of whether or not it would be graduates that no longer attend the university that would be able to ultimately select a new president in general.
Are there any other questions regarding the decision? Senator Harvey?
So I had this question earlier, but I think just for clarity, it'd be a good idea to ask it again. Through the speaker to Chief Justice Pride, does this mean that students or individuals who are no longer students at the university can still sign petitions for recall election regardless of their graduate status?
Yes, anyone who voted in the election of that officer has the opportunity to sign the petition to recall. Once again, it's not decided yet whether or not they would have the leverage to vote in the special election of the officer, senator, given that that recall petition qualifies.
I also have two questions. Can a graduate file a petition or can they only sign a petition?
I'm sorry, I can't hear.
No, you're good. Can a graduate sign a petition?
I think that is something that we would more so have to outline regarding the recall process. The decision that was made last week is just simply regarding who can sign the recall petition, which, yes, as previously stated, graduates can sign it if they voted in the election of that officer. Regarding who can actually file the recall petition and if a graduate can do that, that is something that we will decide in the case we are deliberating on currently.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions regarding this? Okay, do you want to continue your report?
Okay, so then deliberations regarding the second case asking for an interpretation of the entire recall process are underway, and that decision should be released, I'm assuming, in the next week or week and a half. It's going to be a tedious process, and I want to make sure that it covers all aspects, that no questions are left, and that it's the most fair process as possible for both the officer, senator, and the students. And then also, on another note, the UNRPD Task Force met last week again and has kicked off an initiative to track police interactions with students. We've been passing around a survey on campus and trying to get it to as much students as possible. If you're interested in helping with this initiative, please reach out to me or Senator Torres, and we will meet with the ACLU again in the next week or two to go over the survey and also public information requests that the ACLU was filing with UNRPD. That concludes my report. Thank you.
Are there any questions? All righty, thank you. Moving to Chief of Staff, Andrew Venora. Hello, everyone. I hope you all know. I've been meeting and working with the executive interns recently. I've given them some projects to work on, including conducting an interview with an officer from outside of their department. So if an intern reaches out to you, please work with them to find an interview time. Additionally, the officer polo shirts are in production. The turnaround time should be fairly quick with the new vendor, so I hope to have them soon. I'll let you all know when they arrive. That's all I have for now. Have a great week, Dimitri. Moving into the Director of Clubs and Organizations, Nolan Lorenzo.
All right, good evening, senators. This week was like a refresher for our department. Started to collaborate on new projects and events. I've started to talk to the department about new committees for iServe and Spring Club Fair. I'll be asking for one-on-one meetings with the members of my department as well as to reflect and talk about how the department is doing and new ideas for the department. I've also been working with the budget to make sure our funding tracker and department budget match up with the purchases we have made and the funding we've allocated. When looking at the budget, it is clear that funding is not at what a normal year would be. Therefore, we're looking into how we can aid in club success and things we can do to help them out. As you heard in President Hall's report, she has plans for the budget, so I'll be talking with her to work with the budget we have. I finally received an intern and met with him yesterday to talk about my position in the department, and we'll be creating a weekly time to meet. I've been placed on the Joe Crowley Student Union Advisory Board and looking forward to meet with this committee. This Friday, I'll be attending my job evaluation that the exec board is doing, and we will be presenting how I've been completing my duties. Lastly, one of my amazing commissioners has resigned and requested I reach a letter of resignation. Dear Director Lonza, I'm writing this letter to inform you of my immediate resignation from the position of club commissioner of the Department of Clubs and Organizations. It pains me to make this decision due to many things in the ASUN organization as a whole. It is understandable with COVID changing every plan and situation, but this is not what I expected from ASUN leadership and approachment of situations. There's a lack of communication almost in every station and is demotivating to continue to serve this organization to the best of my ability. With no bias, I believe that clubs and organizations is the strongest department within ASUN in all aspects right now. This department has proven it many times and still has not received the appropriate amount of recognition. I'm not just speaking about the commissioners, I'm speaking for the directors as well. It is beyond frustrating to see this happen to the people who put their trust within me to not get back from the people who chose them. With this being said, I'm grateful for the privilege I have had to serve under you. Both you and Nick's support and friendship has been so genuine and overwhelmingly positive towards me. Your synergy gives me no doubt to believe that this department will continue to flourish no matter the situation dealt. I wish you both more recognition, funding, trust, and respect. I'll be rooting for you both every step of the way. Again, thank you so much for this opportunity and good luck with the rest of the year. Sincerely, Justine. Justine was an amazing commissioner in the department. We'll miss her so much. If you guys have any questions or ideas, please let me know.
Are there any questions?
Hi, everyone. I want to start off my report by announcing that our town hall and campaign for this month, which was Proud to Be Indigenous at Nevada, has been postponed until next month due to logistical issues with participants. I'll be announcing the new date for the town hall at our next Senate meeting. Over this past weekend, my department and I attended the NACA conference, which stands for the National Association for Campus Activities. They showcased different speakers, performers, and talents that gave us some great ideas for future events and guests that we can feature. I'll keep you updated on some of those as we begin to plan them. We also did some tabling outside of the Joe last Friday and on Monday in honor of National Coming Out Day, as well as release a video montage of different faculty members and students on social media, which hopefully all of you saw. I wanna thank Senator Herbie for being a part of that. Apart from that, my department has decided to assign our interns on a rotational basis so that they get to know all of us and our positions well. We're currently on our first rotation and I will be having my second meeting with my intern tomorrow. And I'll also be going through executive review under President Hall and Vice President Brown tomorrow. And lastly, I'll be meeting with Senator Harvey on Sunday to hear more about her meeting with Dr. Shintani in regards to including ally statements in our syllabi. And that's all for my report today.
Thank you. Are there any questions?
Yeah, I have a question actually. So like regarding the video that was put out on Coming Out Day, I don't mean this of like any disrespect whatsoever. And Senator Harvey, I'm very thankful that you're an ally to my community. I just thought it was a little bit like tone deaf in a way to invite people to speak on Coming Out Day that are not a part of the community, when there are people such as myself and numerous other senators that actually are a part of that community. And I feel like it would have been more effective for people that have actually had to experience the trials and tribulations of coming out and being gay on this campus, having that space to talk about their experiences rather than people that have never had to experience that. Like, I feel like if we had a Black Student Visibility Day, we would not have white students speaking for Black students. We wouldn't not invite the Black members of ASUN to take part in it. It just was a little bit odd to me, I guess.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I apologize if it came across as tone deaf.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
All right, so hello, senators. I hope your midterms are going well. Last week, I met with my intern, and I also met with a Senate intern, and I'm super excited to be building that relationship. On Monday, I presented to the interns for the Department of Clubs and Organizations just about my job and role in ASUN. I just wanted to take a moment and compliment everybody who was part of the intern hiring process, because all of my experiences with the interns have been extremely positive, and I'm really excited to see what they all have going for them these next few months. Besides meeting with the interns, I completed my evaluation process, and I've been in contact with the environmental club on campus just to establish a good relationship and work on projects together. As always, if you have any questions or ideas, please let me know.
Are there any questions? All right, you see none. Next up, we have Director of Campus and Public Relations, Kyle Wong.
Hi, everyone. I hope you can hear me, but I will be following up with an email just in case. Just a friendly reminder to submit your monthly newsletter submissions. They're due tomorrow. And if you're helping with the ASUN legislation account on Instagram, I would love to get in touch with you guys and collaborate more to help reach larger audiences. So if you're part of that, please email me. And that's it for my report today.
Thank you. Are there any questions? All right, you see none. Director of Campus Wellness, Parker Samuelson.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well. So last week, we did 6 hours of interviews for the clinical director search for the counseling center. And we will be moving on to do more interviews next week. I got to meet my intern, Ellie, and I got to present to the clubs and orgs interns, which, like Dr. Gian said, was such a fun time. There was a flu shot clinic outside the Joe today, and there will be another one next Wednesday. So if you still need to get your flu shot, I hope to see you there. I will be going through my exec review this Friday, and I will also be meeting with President Hall about the emergency housing fund this week.
Thank you. Are there any questions? All righty, seeing none, Attorney General Paige Flippin.
Hello, Senators. Since we last saw each other, I published an opinion regarding impeachment charges filed with the President's Cabinet. You should have all received an email from me with that opinion attached, and if not, it's going to be posted on the website soon. If you have any questions about it, I'm more than happy to answer them. On Monday night, I presented to the clubs and orgs interns as well so they could learn more about what I do as AG. Within the next week, I plan on meeting with my intern to discuss how they can help me as well as I can help them gain whatever they want to gain from this internship. And then earlier today, I also met with one of the Senate interns to explain my position and all of my duties. And then I have my executive review with President Hall and VP Brown on Friday. So I've been spending time preparing for that as well. And that is all for my report this week.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, you see none. Next up, your speaker of the Senate, Keegan Murphy. Hello, everyone. On Friday, I had the opportunity to speak with President Sandoval and Vice President Dr. Ellis and members of GSA and ASUN. Myself, along with President Hall and Vice President Brown, took extensive notes, will be posting a FAQ soon. President Hall's veto Senate Bill 88 can act to amend recall elections, citing that it is unconstitutional for the Judicial Council's ruling. This will be placed on the agenda next week and will be discussed by the Senate as is customary with all veters. Let's quick read, Senate Secretary Hope did a great job of hiring two brand new committee secretaries. Their names are John and Alex, and they'll be reaching out to chairs soon about their committee assignments. Please be welcoming. Outreach ends next Tuesday. Please be filling out your Excel sheet before the deadline. Also, submit your work document in the map box for your intern fee. If you need some outreach ideas, please be collaborating with each other and other departments to come up with ideas. The link to apply for the Division of Health Sciences Student College of Liberal Arts is on Workday. Tell your constituents to apply. I am planning on closing the Liberal Arts seat next week. Just a reminder for those who do not know, Senate and Oversight will be canceled on November 25th, the day before Thanksgiving, and our last Senate and Oversight meeting of the semester will be December 9th on Friday. If you have any legislation, please send Bree and myself anything by tomorrow and by today. Are there any questions? Alrighty, seeing none. Next up, we will move into agenda 8, reports of committee chairs, starting with Chair for the Committee on Academics and Student Affairs, Senator Yee.
Hi everyone, I hope you can hear me. This past Tuesday, we had Maggie Russell from UNR Libraries come to our committee meeting, and she came as a representative for the Faculty Senate Committee on Academic Standards. One of the goals of the Academic Standards Committee is to collaborate with our ASUN Academic and Student Affairs Committee to increase awareness and reduce recurrence of academic dishonesty. We discussed about different methods of how we can spread resources pertaining to academic dishonesty policies and prevention methods. And we mentioned possibly creating some sort of web campus module and whether this should be mandatory or not for students to take. Senator Kidd and I met with DC Ellis last week, and I won't, we talked about a lot of different things, some of them being Thanksgiving parties and campus shutting down and past bill grading, but I already went over that with President Sandoval, so I won't go into in depth. So seeing that past bill grading is kind of more rigid to work with, I just want to emphasize to everyone that there are more academic leniency this semester to accommodate for that. So we do not have academic probation or academic dismissal. And Senator Stoddard and Kidd are working with admissions and records on grade replacement policies. So in the near future, it should be more flexible to retake classes and replace grades. We voiced to Dr. Ellis that students' mental health are at an all-time low this semester. So she's connecting Senator Kidd and I with Jack Cicerello, and we will be meeting next Monday where she will be sharing some resources with us. And I will be asking her if she would be interested in coming our Senate meeting for those of you who have questions about counseling services and the counseling being increased. That's about it for my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we have Chair for the Committee on Budget and Finance, Senator Hubert.
Hello, everybody. I don't have too much today. We did not have a meeting last week, but we will this coming Friday. We will be reviewing Insight Magazine and Brushfire. And at that point, we should be just roughly halfway through the financial reviews for the semester. So we should be finishing those up in the next 4 or 5 meetings or so. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me.
Thank you. Next up, we have Chair for the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement, Vice Chair Senator Torres.
Hi, everyone. So we didn't meet this week, but our next meeting will be next Monday at 5:30. We'll be discussing the vice chair position should it open up, as well as all business regarding Veterans Day lunch, as it is coming up fairly soon, and finally confirming liaison positions and duties pertaining to that. Senator Horwell and I met with the policy assistant, Ryan Bennett, today to discuss actual implementation of Election Day as a holiday, and we will be discussing ways to promote this as well.
Awesome. And Senator Torres, your budget for the Veterans Day lunch is $1,000, so if you need help accessing that money, let me know. Are there any questions for Senator Torres? All right, seeing none. Next up, we have Chair of the Committee on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, Senator Rivera.
Hello, everyone. So last week, we had a training in place of our committee meeting. It was taught by the lovely Giovanni from the Department of Diversity and Inclusion. She's really, really busy, and she's pursuing her doctorate this semester. So I was really, really grateful to have her share some of her time with us, and she will be teaching us another training in November. So if you guys really have the opportunity to interact with anybody from that department, I encourage you to. The theme was focused on microaggressions, and our next training will be focused on our values as leaders and incorporating that into our work in diversity, equity, and inclusion. Next meeting, we will be having, or we'll be hearing the first reading of a resolution in support of our art project honoring the BLM movement and LGBTQ Plus community presented by Senators Blumers and Stoddard. So that will be really exciting to hear that. And then, of course, I've been continuing communication in my work with the Reynolds School of Journalism Diversity and Inclusion Committee.
Awesome, thank you. Next up, we have Chair of the Committee on Government Operations, Senator Supple.
Hi, everyone. So we are meeting last night. We elected Senator Kidd as our vice chair. There will be no meeting next week, but if you are interested in writing legislation, I can literally think out something in 5 minutes. If you want to write like a little short piece of legislation that's really simple, to like get the ball rolling on writing legislation. So you can just reach out to me and I will literally give you anything to do.
Awesome, thank you. Next up, we have Chair of the Committee on Safety, Sustainability, and Wellness, Senator Lewis.
Hi, everyone. We have a meeting tomorrow night at 5:30 to discuss legislation with Senator Stoddard about police accountability.
Thank you. Next up, we have Speaker Pro Tempore, Senator Supple.
So, last intern meeting, I delegated my interns to reach out to another ASUN officer. So definitely help them with reaching out to that. I told them about professionalism. So they might reach out to you guys after the email, but if they haven't talked about it, please do. There are some interns who I know have conducted interviews, so please keep up with that and meet with your intern. The requirement for your meeting is on the center income agreement, but if there is confusion, you guys know it's difficult. If you're sharing an intern, please address me. I want that to be as clear as possible, and I want to hear all the way out in the part of the report, which I also learned in the back box of the mention in the group name. So I just added it, I'll be checking that at 4 p.m. Tuesdays, minus fill ups. But I expect it to be in there 5 p.m. For sure, free, but you guys will have your outreach done. And then tonight, from the time Harvey will be mentioned in the meeting to teach the internet about how much.
Awesome. Are there any questions for Senator Supple? All right, seeing none. Parliamentarian Senator Harvey.
Hi, everyone. So like Speaker Pro Tempore Supple just mentioned, I will be going in to do a workshop on Parley Pro for the interns today. For my Parley Pro tip this week, I just wanted to talk about quorum. Thankfully, we haven't had an issue too much with that this session. But basically what quorum is the amount of people that you need within a meeting, the amount of membership of the people in the meeting to be able to carry out some kind of motion. So typically we think of this as to be able to pass legislation basically. And for us, quorum is 50% of the membership of the committee or Senate body plus one, which is also just basically the majority. And both Robert's Rules of Order and our Senate rules say that no action can be taken on any motion until a quorum is obtained. So we could sit here and have public comment and have a discussion about something, but we wouldn't actually be able to pass any legislation or basically take action that requires a vote of any kind until a quorum is obtained. Are there any questions for me?
Are there any questions? We've been pretty great with quorum this year. I know last year we had some troubles. We were slammed for that. So hopefully we never run into that problem. Thank you, Parliamentarian Hardy. Next up, Committee on Oversight, Speaker Murphy. Next week at Oversight, we're having an executive review with Chief of Staff Horn and President Hall. Also, some committee chairs are worried about senator accountability in their committees. I just want to reiterate that you are expected to know your attendance policy. If you have a meeting or you have a training at your designated meeting time, you are expected to be there or you will receive points. We're halfway through the semester. There should be no mess ups. You should be operating at full steam. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me or your committee chair. Okay, next up, moving into agenda item 9, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Please let the record show that Senator Yang left the meeting at 6:59 and Senator Lewis left the meeting at 7:01. Alrighty, if there's no further comments and announcements, we'll move into agenda item 10, appointment of committee chairs and senators to committees. We'll be electing a new chairperson for the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. Let me just pull up the script. Now I will be accepting nominations from the floor for the Senate Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. Nominations do not need a second, and self-nominations are welcome. To nominate someone, please use the phrase, I nominate the Senator Blaine to be chair of the Senate Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. Nominations are now in order. Senator Ribeiro.
I nominate Senator Torres to be chair on the Committee of Diverse, or Democratic Civic Engagement.
Try to get away from the meeting. Senator Torres from the College of Liberal Arts has been placed into nomination. Do you accept?
Yes.
Are there any further nominations? Alrighty. If there are no further nominations, nominations are now closed. Without objection, the nominees will be recognized in the order in which their nominations were made. The following have been nominated for the chair of the Senate Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. Senator Torres from the College of Liberal Arts. All nominees have been placed in nomination. Nominees. Are there any questions before we begin? I don't think so. This is our third time with this meeting. Okay. Seeing that there are no further questions, we'll now move into a presentation of nominees. Senator Torres from the College of Liberal Arts, you will now be recognized for your 2-minute presentation.
Hi, everyone. I'm very excited to be here right now presenting for the chair position for the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. I discussed with both former chairs, Connor Doyle and Zane Taylor, what they had envisioned this committee to accomplish, as well as begun setting up goals that I would be prioritizing for this committee should I be elected as chair. I've always been very passionate about civic engagement and want to continue to foster that passion to this committee and UNR students as well. I interned the Nevada State Legislature during my senior year of high school, and this allowed me to interact and see firsthand legislators, lobbyists, and assembly people dedicated to representing their constituents. Although I was just elected as vice chair for this committee as of last week, I know I can handle this challenge and make sure this committee runs as smoothly as possible. Pieces of legislation I have passed and that I'm currently working on that reflect every full outline as being legislative priorities that the former chair, Zane Taylor, passed a few weeks ago, include legislation on police reformation in regards to investigative action, the establishment of the Nevada Dream Act, as well as the creation of the UNRPD coalition that has been a collaborative effort with Chief Justice Pride. Being the liaison to both the Director of Wellness and the Director of Sustainability allows me to create collaboration and integration of these two legislative goals within the Committee of Democratic Civic Engagement. And a current project pertaining toward that is the establishment of the Counseling Services Advisory Board with the Director of Wellness, Senator Vogel, and Senator Kidd. As part of the Steering Committee for Every Voice Nevada, Sexual Assault Survivors Advocacy Organization is working to pass legislation for increasing protections for sexual assault survivors, regardless if they decide to involve investigative action or not, allows for discourse among students both at UNR and UNLV and other small colleges to begin working together pass legislative pieces such as these for the protection and safety of our students. The greatest part of serving other students is being able to be their voice, regardless of my personal biases, my opinions, and the issues I would like to tackle. Instead, having the ability to become the chair for the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement allows me to voice student concerns to legislators who are more detached from university life than we are as ASUN senators, and we become the bridge that connects these two. I would love to continue to further these legislative goals and expand upon them as chair of this committee. Thank you for your time.
We have concluded the 2-minute presentation and we'll now move into questions and answers from the Senate floor. This portion will be 5 minutes. And please let the record show that Senator Lewis re-entered the meeting at 7:04. Are there any questions for Senator Lewis? Senator Ribeiro.
Through the speaker to Senator Torres. So I think we can all agree that the people who have had to be in contact with this committee probably aren't on super like clear terms and they are having difficulty like figuring out who the proper person is to reach out. So how do you kind of plan to reach out to them, work on building these relationships again and work on building that communication since you're essentially starting over?
Yeah, so good speaking to Senator Barrow. I will be basically reaching out through email to set up the meetings if I were to be elected as a chair in the next 2 weeks, and then start inviting them to the actual meetings so that we can discuss as a group what priorities we should take.
Senator Casilda Rios.
Hi, Senator Torres. I just wanted to ask, as you know, the members of the committee have kind of been put on a roller coaster these last few weeks, not really kind of having that stability when it comes to a chair. So I was just kind of wondering if you had any ideas or things you wanted to do with the committee in order to just kind of ensure that you know, we're headed on the right path and all kind of comfortable within the committee.
Yeah, so good to speak to Senator DeSantis. Essentially, what I've been planning on doing is tackling each of the legislative priorities per month. So we would start with one priority that we all want to start tackling, and that way we can start stabilizing the way that we would be running the committee.
Senator Rigo.
Yeah, I was just curious if you met with the previous chairs and kind of to go over their ideas and their what they wanted to see from the committee.
Good speaker to you, Senator Vogel. Yes, I met with Zane Taylor yesterday, and I also discussed on the phone with Connor Doyle and with Senator Taylor, previous Senator Taylor, about the goals and the priorities that they wanted to envision this committee to accomplish.
Are there any further questions for Senator Torres? Alrighty, if there are no further questions, we will now move into discussion. It has been customary for the body to consider the character, professional competence, physical or mental health, or other matters permissible to NRS 241.003. Under NRS 241.031, the election may not be closed. The body has completed its deliberations. They may approve the nomination, reject the nomination, or take no action. We shall now go into a general debate with the board. Senator Torres, would you mind leaving the Senate chambers just for the integrity of our decision?
Yes.
Thank you all. Have someone bring you back in.
The first time
you get. All right, with that, we'll now move into discussion, starting with the first panel, if there is. Senator Ramirez.
I think we should definitely have her be our
Awesome. Is there any other discussion? Alrighty. Seeing no discussion, we'll now vote on all those in favor of approving Senator Torres as chair of the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. Please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? With that, she will be approved. Senator Lewis, can you go get her, please? The quickest nomination you've ever had.
The discussion.
Congratulations, Senator Torres. You are the new chair for the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement. Alrighty, and with that, we'll be placed on the Committee of Oversight, and if you want to change any of the other things, you can do so later on. Moving into agenda item. Sorry, 18 miscellaneous business. Senator reports this week. I wanted to let me pull it up. Senator Torres and Lewis, so please give a report. So Senator Torres.
Yeah, so as I've said during my agenda discussion, I just met with Miranda Bennett and Senator Duvall to discuss options about the Election Day holiday and actually implementing it. And I also know that Senator Duvall mentioned it during discussion with President Sandoval. As well as I'm still working with the Director of Wellness to create a Council and Service Advisory Board, and we will be writing a resolution for that soon.
Awesome, thank you. And Senator Lewis?
So I'm still working on the UPass ballot question, legislation with the people that work for example and their union and national legislation fully. I just finished up the our study from the BLM and legislation, which will be heard at Senator Romero's committee on Monday. And then I will be also finishing up the other related contract concerns by legislation, hopefully in the next few weeks. My interim meeting for the Monday, I'm really proud of my interim because we are passionate about what's been going on in Senate and the process around Senate and focus around the issues itself. So.
Awesome. Senator Vanberg.
Oh yeah, so just to update you guys regarding like my idea of the clipboard in the Joe, I talked to some admin in the Joe and they thought it was a bad idea to do like a physical forum just for sanitation purposes. And so I'm thinking of the best way to go like through online purposes of doing a forum. So if you guys have any ideas, and then putting flyers in the Joe, of course. So if you have any ideas, please let me know.
Thank you, Senator Lambert. Senator Harvey?
I don't necessarily have a report. I just wanted to ask, and I don't know if Senator Lures might have mentioned this in his report, I couldn't hear, but is there anybody working on a piece of legislation or any project relating to the gym closures? Because I wanted to connect you with the senator or the student who was here last week in public comment to make sure they got that information.
Senator Torres is working on that legislation, I believe. So if you want to send, I'm assuming it's Kevin Pinkler or that other one who spoke, if you want to send their contact information to Senator Torres, that'd be great. Thank you, Senator Hardy. Are there any other, does anyone else want to report? Already seeing none. Senate committee changes and additions. Are there any Senate committee changes at this time? Already seeing none. Legislation tracker update. I want to share my screen. Okay. So I wanted to check in on Senator Lures, how's the social justice land on Kaepernick Drive legislation?
So we're still aiming for end of October. I should be emailing out to Director Rendell. Final meeting to see if there's any additional options we can add in. For the UCAT, I can also keep an end of October that can be done by them.
Perfect. Senator Kidd, how's the Kaepernick statue on campus legislation going?
It's going. We have a meeting with the two people who are in charge of it. I'm sure you know, you guys are familiar. It's Lauren Harvey and Winnie, who came to a previous meeting. They're the people in charge of it who came to us wanting us to write the legislation. And we have a meeting with them considering the bumps in the road that we had with a couple of our outreach ideas. So we're still going, but it's just a little bit longer than expected.
Okay, no worries. Let's see, we have Senator Yang left, but she is, I believe, working on pass fail grading. If not, she's going to be advertising other ways to appeal class grade. Senator Ahmed, how's the BLM database legislation going?
I'm going to be starting it this weekend because my big test is tomorrow. So.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you.
Is there any other senators that are starting legislation? Senator
Pons. You can add in the Catholic Services Advisory Board. Senator Verbal and I will be working on that one, as well as a way to include financial resources or aid for the student workers who were working at the fitness center.
And you know, have you started those?
I will be starting them this weekend.
Okay, perfect. And you said you and Senator Rubio were working on those?
On the first one, and then on the second one, Senator Lopez and Senator Keller.
Okay, I'm going to put Senator Lopez on that one. You said Senator Lopez and Senator Keller. Okay. Is there any other legislation that needs to be added? Senator
Kidd. It's not to be added, but just I'm working on the pass fail grading resolution with Senator Yang. So I can kind of like give the update on that if you want. But we like we've mentioned multiple times, we met with Dr. Shannon Ellis, and I am meeting with Director Turk in the Academic and Records Office this Friday with VP Brown and Chief Justice Paulina Pride. So if you guys do have any questions that you want me to bring up, just either send it in the group me or like message me. But that is like the plan as of right now, and then we'll go from there, the process of writing the legislation.
Perfect. Does anyone else have any other legislation? I know someone said that they needed help drafting these, and for the South, so there's probably a couple pieces that would be needed for things that need to be changed. So if you have any ideas, or if you need something to do, please reach out to Senator Sobel. If not, I'll have her reach out to you. Are there any other questions or updates? Perfect. Moving into agenda item 19, comments and announcements. Are there any comments and announcements at this time? Senator Rivera.
I just kind of wanted to reflect on some of the public comments that's been made in this meeting, a little bit of what's been happening in oversight, and just kind of like the general things that are happening within our association. And I think me saying that, most people already know what I'm referencing. And I think as we move forward in our work, what's going to be most imperative to the success of all of us is having a collaborative spirit and assuming the best before we assume the worst. And I think that it's really easy to assume the worst, but more often than not, when we give people the opportunity and we're honest with them about how things transpired or our own feelings, then giving them the benefit of the doubt is going to be far more productive than assuming the worst of them before they can showcase their side to you. So I think that it's important before that we all recognize that we all have the same goals and we're all working toward the same thing, and nobody wants to see each other fail. So we should be uplifting each other in every way possible so that things that are happening right now don't keep happening. Because if they do, then I know that I'm a senator that's going to make me start dreading the type of work and coming into this meeting every week. And it's something that I look forward to, and I don't want it to turn into that. And I think that that requires all of us taking accountability, that requires all of us putting action forward, and that requires all of us opening dialogues regarding these conversations so that things like this don't keep happening. I think all of you are very talented, and I think all of you are in these positions for a reason. So we should work together, we should collaborate, and we should empower each other as we move through this process of becoming student leaders and finding our voices as student representatives.
I just want to reiterate that. Thank you for saying all of those words, Senator Rivera. I think that's really important. Also, if you have a problem with someone, try talking with them first instead of filing a charge against them. That just gets very messy. It wastes time for my committee, and I don't particularly like when that happens. And it's not fair to the students that it affects, especially if it's unfair. So yeah, definitely try to have conversations with people to figure something out before filing a charge, going to impeach someone, wanting to fire someone. There are better ways to go about that. You should be given a warning before you're just surprised that someone wants to impeach you. And that's what I have to say on that. Are there any other comments and announcements? Senator Torres.
So I'll be sending an email with the link to the NRP survey for post interactions. Please reach out to your constituents about it. We haven't had like as much student feedback as we would like. As well as if you do go to your student advisory board meetings, please let them know if this is a survey that we can put out, and so they can send a mass email to their college.
Awesome, great work. Is there any other comments and announcements? Seeing none, moving into agenda 20, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Alrighty, seeing none, moving into adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 7:20 p.m.